Well, hello again, and happy Mother's Day once more. And thanks to Chris for putting that presentation together. Great job on that, and thanks to all the moms, and I think a lot of the dads and husbands that sent in those pictures. Oh, where do babies come from? What kid hasn't asked that question? I was told when I was a wee little lad, they come from a mommy's tummy. That satisfied me for a short time. But how do they get into the mommy's tummy? I asked. Well, my mom was not the type to discuss such things with her precocious little boy. And so she somehow evaded the issue. And so I'm still wondering how it happens. I got three kids. Really, I don't think anybody knows, honestly, except the Lord himself. Of course, we can talk about and listen to the scientists and the doctors who will tell us about the mechanics of fertilization and so forth, but how human beings begin, how life actually starts. They've never succeeded in making it happen in a test tube or anything like that. But somehow it takes place in the womb of a mother. And only God knows how that happens. Today, I would like to share with you for just a few moments about the mystery of motherhood by taking a brief look at the mother of all mothers, the one who started it all off, the grandest great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great grandmother plus who knows how many of all time. Your mother and mine, the mother of all humanity, Eve. We all have the same mom, all of us. We're all children of Eve. And since we're all related to her, and since every mother follows in her footsteps, we can learn some practical lessons from her about how to treat our moms and how to treat our wives and what motherhood is about. It's all wrapped up in our main idea, and if you haven't gotten your outline out of your program yet, now's your cue to do so, because you'll want to write down this main idea. It kind of sums up everything we're talking about this morning. It goes like this. Our first mom is a supermodel. She is a supermodel. Not the kind you see on TV or in the magazines, although I'm sure she could outshine them all. But because Eve was the mother of all mothers, she is a model for more than just her looks. She is the prototype of all moms. Today we're going to look briefly at three ways our first mom was a supermodel. Number one on your outline, she was a supermodel as dad's life partner. Dad's life partner. You know, most people discover that boys are different from girls at a pretty young age. But Time magazine figured it out just a couple decades ago. A little, you know, they're supposed to be a news magazine, they're supposed to be really hip, they're supposed to have, you know, the latest of everything, but in 1992, they put this cover on their magazine with a big story inside. Why are men and women different? It isn't just their upbringing, it says. New studies show They're born that way. New studies have revealed that they're actually different. Can anyone say, duh? The owner's manual of all humanity, it's called the Bible, told us this thousands of years ago as if we couldn't figure it out on our own. In fact, not only are they born different, but they're actually created different, each with a unique purpose. Let's look at it. It's found in Genesis chapter 2, and we pick up at verse 18. And I'll ask you to help me out again when we come to the yellow print. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.' So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky, but there was still no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. 'At last,' the man exclaimed, 'this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man.' This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." This was the beginning, the creation of man and woman and marriage. God's design is for one man and one woman in marriage. And we see it here, right at the founding. God founded this institution at the dawn of humanity. Woman was originally designed to be a partner, to come alongside the man and face with him the challenges of life. No one else on earth, no mammal, no bird, no reptile can fill this role. You've heard man's best friend is a dog. Well, it's not true. Man's best friend is woman. Companionship. That's why women tend to be more verbal than men. Guys, have you noticed that? I heard of a study on children that was done where the kids were playing on the playground. They recorded the girls out there, and they recorded the boys, and then they compared the recordings. The girls tended to stay in groups, speak in regular, complete sentences, and talk to each other. The boys, however, spoke fewer words. There were far more grunts and groans, yells, and unintelligible noises. Oh, man. Literally. You know the age-old question, why was Adam created first rather than woman? I mean, you know, isn't it supposed to be ladies first? Why man before woman? Well, obviously, I think I've got it figured out. It's a no-brainer. It was to give the poor guy a chance to say something, right? Am I in trouble or what, huh? Notice that the woman was made from the man's rib, just as we see up there. It's an actual photo that was snapped of this. It didn't come from the man's head so that she would rule over him, nor from his foot bone for him to stomp on her, but from his rib, to show that she would be by his side, close to his heart. And actually, she got the better deal because she was made out of a rib, and he was made out of the dirt, we're told. You've heard of the book, Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus? Well, in actual fact, men are from dirt. And women, they're from red, hot, and blue. Because she was made from the man's rib as a partner, women tend generally to favor relationships and communication and interaction far more than typically men do. Men and women are wired differently. Typically, women seem to crave more interaction. It's not always true, but typically that's the way it works. Guys, that means when you come home from work and you're tired and you've already used up all your words for the day and all you've got left are grunts, you need to understand that she needs verbal interaction with you. She needs affirmation. She needs to hear from you that you love her, not just to see it in the way you provide for her and for the family. To her, things like weekly dates and flowers and walks and holding hands probably mean a lot more than they might to you. It's just the way she's wired. But we guys, we aren't always aware of this need for communication and affection and affirmation. I blow it regularly on this. My wife wants to talk, and I'm into my book, or I'm watching my baseball game. And I struggle. I struggle. It's like Eve once said to Adam, "Adam, do you love me?" And he said, "Who else?" And so she is a supermodel. She is Dad's partner. Let's look at the second way. Our first mom was a supermodel. Number two on your outline, as the nurturer of her kids. The nurturer. After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and got expelled, Adam gave his wife another name. Look at this. Genesis 3, verse 20, it says, "Then the man, Adam, named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all who would live." And we're not told why Adam gave his wife a second name. Maybe it was because she didn't like, you know, "Hey, woman," kind of a thing. That was her name. Better than old lady, you know. And so Adam said, well, you know, maybe she'd like something that's a little more delicate sounding. Her first name, woman, looks back to her origin, where she came from. She was taken out of man. But her second name, Eve, looks ahead to her destiny, to her future, that she would be the mother of all humanity. The word Eve is actually a Hebrew word play. It sounds very much like the word for life. She was named Eve because as a mom, she would be the giver of life. And that is a unique role. In our society, pregnancy is often viewed as if it were a disease. The thing that makes women vulnerable. The thing that holds them back. The thing that keeps them in bondage. To be free of the threat of pregnancy, is to be liberated so that they can be equal with men and have jobs and salaries and run the world just like men. They can be just like men. But this logic is problematic. It is twisted. In becoming liberated like that, women turn their backs on the one thing that no man can do. The one thing that makes them absolutely essential and indispensable to the survival of the human race, and that is giving life. Now, should women pursue careers? Should they get equal pay for the work that they do? Absolutely. Absolutely. But Christian moms need to also realize that their first priority when they have kids is taking care of those kids. According to a 2012 survey reported in Forbes, 84% of working women yearn to stay home with their kids. 84%. In fact, they define success as setting aside work to stay home with the kids. That shouldn't surprise us. Because all the radical feminist propaganda in the world can't change the original blueprint for woman. She was designed by God to be a nurturer, and that is not something to be ashamed of, but to be proud of. She is the life giver. And in that, she's a supermodel. The third way our first mom was a supermodel, number three on your outline, is as the source of our Savior. Our first parents got all of us into humongous trouble. It's usually the kids that get in trouble, but in this case, it was the parents. They got into major big-time trouble. They plunged all of us into an excrement cesspool of sin. They disobeyed God in the garden and came under the judgment of God. Sin altered their genetics so that all of their offspring are infected with the pandemic of sin. We're all sinners. Even the very best of us break God's commands, and we do it on a regular basis. You don't even need the Bible to see this, to see proof of this. Just turn on the news. You don't even need to do that. Just look in your own household. Ever notice that when a beautiful new baby is born, it's totally self-centered? He doesn't care. Yeah, there it is, man. He doesn't care that mom and dad are tired in the middle of the night. Or he doesn't care that, others need to eat too. You ever notice that little children never have to be taught how to misbehave? They just instinctively know this. They know how to be selfish. They know how to blow up in anger. They know how to be disrespectful. That just comes naturally. It comes naturally to all of us. They have to be taught how to behave, how to treat others with respect, how to think of others before themselves. The reason for this, folks, is what the Bible teaches, and that is that we are all born sinners. Look at what Romans 5:12 says. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. That's the bad news. But immediately after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God made a promise, the first promise ever about the Savior. It's the first announcement in the Bible about the good news. And oddly enough, God announces it to the serpent. It comes in the shadow of Paradise Lost. God speaks to the devil, the ultimate showdown between the devil and one of Eve's kids. Let's look at it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God says, "And I will cause hostility between you," serpent, standing for the devil, "and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Notice that it's the offspring of the woman that's mentioned here. No mention of the man, which is highly irregular in a culture where fathers, not mothers, are always listed in the genealogies. It's fascinating. The man gets credited with the first sin, the source of sin, but the woman is credited with being the source of our Savior. Not fair. This is the way it is. Specifically, it says that in the future, one of her male children is going to deliver a death blow to the serpent's head as the serpent pumps his deadly venom into the heel of that man. It's a mysterious promise. It seems so obscure and hard to understand, but it only makes sense. It makes perfect sense as the years rolled on, the many centuries rolled on, and in the distant future from that event, a man is born of a virgin, the offspring of a woman, who would become the Savior of the world by dying on the cross and rising from the dead, thereby delivering the crushing blow to the serpent's head and to his kingdom. We all have the same mom, our supermodel mom. She shows us what genuine womanhood is about. Let's honor our moms and our wives and show them the kindness and the affection that they deserve. And the promise made way back in the garden points us to the Savior. Eve would want all of her kids redeemed by the promised Savior. Have you committed yourself, your life, your eternal destiny to the one who paid for your sins on the cross and arose from the dead? Are you a Christ follower? That's the question that confronts all of humanity. Have you been saved? Have you received Him as your personal Lord and Savior? We're going to close our service right now. Why don't you please stand as we have a little closing prayer. There will be no goodies after the service today because we want our families, our moms, to be able to go home and celebrate Mother's Day. All right? But if you're in need of some prayer or some counsel, you'd like to know what it means to become a Christ follower, or you have some other kind of need, you're welcome to come down here and talk with one of our pastoral prayer team members. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gift of life. Thank you for our moms. I pray that we'd really honor our moms and our wives today. And for those of us whose moms have passed away or just not nearby, I pray that we would still honor them, honor their memory today in our celebrations. And Lord, I thank you for that promise that would come from the offspring of a woman, the promise of Jesus, who gives us not just life, but eternal life when we trust in Him as Lord and Savior. Your blessing, I pray, upon this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.